Live and local from Shooter's Hill, Maritime Radio.
We are delighted to be joined in the studio by Steve Roebuck, Sandra Roebuck and Roxy from the Smile of Hope charity. Guys, thanks ever so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
First up, now this of course is the Mottingham-based charity that helps kids through with life-threatening illnesses. This helps with donations, events, equipment and whatnot. How did Smile of Hope actually come about?
Well, I guess it goes back some time. So, probably 20 years ago. I came out of rehab. And at that time, a very close friend, a couple, had a daughter who was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And so wanted to do something on the anniversary of my recovery, and at the same time wanted to do something which could help a wonderful hospice in Essex, Little Havens. So we decided that we would pitch a tent up and the two of us would sleep in a tent and try and get sponsorship with the wives. And so the first time we sort of thought we might make a few quid, and we ended up calling this event I'm a Banker, Get Me Out of Here. And we ran it for 9 years and it got bigger and bigger, and we were grateful and fortunate to raise over £1 million.
Wow.
For the hospice. And then about 10 or 11 years ago, we decided to set up a charity called Lily's Smile with the parents. And so that was the forerunner to Smile of Hope. And then my friend, he went on to be a trustee of the charity, the hospice, and so we renamed it and called it Smile of Hope. And we've from there we just got bigger and bigger.
Can I just clear something up? You didn't spend 9 years in a tent, did you?
We spent 9 weekends over 9 years in a tent.
I was going to say, you said 9 years. I thought, wow. Well, that's worth £1 million of anyone's money.
and it was the interesting thing, John, was that every year we'd go in this tent, and every you'd start with a little bed on the floor, and then on the ninth year there were these massive blow up super duper
full
beds,
glamping
with all the
it?
Gear and everything. It was like amazing.
I bet it was a mini bar, log burner, the lot there.
And we used to work in the grounds of the hospice, so we came to know the hospice really well, and really made us feel we wanted to do something.
It's gone from, shall we say, very grassroots. You know, it isn't something that's just suddenly spawned overnight, as you said there. It started with an idea, a fault which has tumbled onto this and this, and it's evolved into this charity that at the moment is quite big. It's contained, but it is really quite big in itself. I mean, I've been checking and looking around bits and pieces that you've done and the monies you've done and the things you've achieved, and it is quite substantial for a charity that's based basically in a house in Mottingham. Do you not think?
Yeah.
Sandra's nodding, yes. You can talk.
I can talk, yes, I can. Our house now resembles, after 3 years of constant donations for our table sales and boot sales and things, if anyone remembers Steptoe and Son and remembers their yard, that is what our house resembles.
Oil drum lane?
Oil drum lane. It's everywhere.
Really?
I've actually stopped excusing the mess.
Yeah.
I just say, just step over that and around this.
It's not mess, though, is it? It's not like Steptoe and Son. You're not bathing in the sink with Vim, are you? You know?
Oh, but it's... another story.
Right. Never drink out the cups.
No. Actually, one thing you got to also realise, John, is that we have 8 cats.
Oh, and no, as well.
So our cats love the opportunity
say,
of
boxes.
That's a jungle gym. How often do you lose the cats?
Frequently.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
We lost one a couple of weeks ago.
No, really?
Found her after 2 days under the coffee table.
Did you sell her on Marketplace in a coat?
That's next.
How was the decision to actually make the charity about helping children with life-threatening illnesses? Is that all off of the back of the Lily one, or the hospice you was helping earlier?
Yeah, that's how it started. And also, for about 25 years, Sandra ran a parent and toddler group as a volunteer with some friends. One has actually more recently joined as a trustee. And so that she always had a sort of wanted to look after kids in some
way. Yeah, I mean, we saw children of, you know, all incomes. There were obviously those that were more well off than others, and, you know, with hindsight, had we have been set up then, we could have probably helped them in some way. But, yeah, I mean, how it's all evolved has been phenomenal.
Oh, no, yes.
Phenomenal.
It really has. I mean, Steve sent over some of the achievements you've done over the years. I mean, just for 2022. The list, we'll go into a little while. The list is amazing. You really, really should be so proud of yourself. I mean, the gazebo, people that don't know the people that don't know it, as you come out of Mottingham Village, go up towards Chislehurst, towards Elmstead Lane, there is a house on the left that has always got a gazebo up in the front garden. And that is the charity, isn't it? That's the sale.
Actually, it's not 100% true, John, because about 3 weeks ago, very high winds.
Oh, no.
The wind lifted up the gazebo 7 foot.
I'm laughing and I shouldn't.
Took it next door into their garden, landed on the grass and crashed on our neighbour's car.
No.
Well, actually, it ended upside down on the neighbour's car.
See, the way you was telling that story, I thought it was just a clever ruse to use the next door neighbour's drive as well. Every bit of every square foot sacred as such. But, yeah, oh, wow.
Fortunately, it didn't injure his car. It did do damage to the fence and everything else, and he was very decent about it, but obviously...
And the gazebo is no more.
So we had to get another gazebo. Two more, actually. But,
yeah. Oh,
you know,
no.
That's history now.
So there's someone out there that can't do weddings in the back gardens anymore. I mean, the gazebo, as I said, is always up. The charity's always running with donations. Is this, like, Roxy, Sandra, Steve, is this your full-time jobs, or are you trying to do other stuff as well?
Well, I do work full-time, so I need to do work for the charity after my full-time job every day or at the weekend. Sadly, I'm not helping Sandra and Steve as much as I would like to, but of course I'm definitely there to help out. And from time to time I also get inquiries from people, not only people who say, well, we'd like to donate something to you, can I just come around and just drop it? But a couple of weeks ago I had a call from a lady saying, when do you do sales? And said, this is an odd call to receive me during the day. And she said, no, I need to come into London, and I'm coming from outside London just for your sales.
Really?
Yeah, so it's definitely, we are definitely getting traction.
Yeah. Oh,
and
wow.
People are interested to come from a bit further away, so I recommend it. You know, just like our charity on Facebook, and then you can see when we have the next sale.
Shameless plug there, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Shameless plug. You worry about that. We'll go right into that in a little while. Now, you help children all over the world, you know, looking at the stuff you've achieved and what you continue to do. You know, we've got India, Ukraine, more recently Turkey and Syria. How do you choose or hear of these? Is there something you know? Is there a path you take and think, right, this is where we're going to concentrate our interest this month? Or is there just basically what's in the news?
Not really, to be honest with you. We do have a sort of strategy, but obviously it becomes more personal to us. So, for example, India, which is probably our biggest partner, I was working over there, and Broxy and I worked for the same firm for a period, and I was fortunate enough to meet the head of IT for this bank, and he said, I do some volunteering for this charity. Do you want to come and see them? And went over to New Delhi and met the heart surgeon and the CEO.
Wow.
And so they saved lives, kids, by doing heart surgery. So decided between us that would be a good avenue for us to support. And also sometimes it's a bit of a worry with overseas charities that there can be some bit of skullduggery.
Yeah.
But in the case of Child Heart Foundation, they're amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so we're honoured and grateful that we can help them.
Yeah. I mean, just looking... Sorry.
Sorry, I just wanted to mention also, like Steve said, it's usually a personal connection. And for example, I am Romanian, my family is Romania, we were receiving Ukrainian children and women. So this is how, through my family, I managed to find a charity who helped kids at the border, and we donated money for them. So usually it is a personal connection through friends and through people who know, we know.
Yeah. It's honestly, it is really sterling work you're doing. I'm just looking down, you know, what you achieved in 2022. I can't go right the way through it. But there's the Romanian charity to help Ukrainian kids at the border fleeing at the start of the war. The portable PA for a skilled autistic girl joining the BBC choir over in Essex.
That was one of the most memorable. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sandra, that was...
Yeah.
That this young girl who is a very accomplished singer, and so, you know, we bought a nice PA system, and she was uber excited. We rarely see the results of our sort of donations, but we got some video of her, and also she's been accepted into the BBC Autism Choir.
Really?
And so that makes us proud. And
yeah.
She said that she'd come and sing from us when there's an opportunity, and we partner with a studio in Chislehurst, and they're doing autistic movement therapy, because the charity is predominantly around two things. It's to do with sort of life-limiting illnesses, but it's also about art and
drama and music.
And we've concentrated more in the last 12 months in local support, as well as very important work to us, because we just felt we should try and do more locally.
It's funny, because I'm reading the list. You said there that you funded the Studio Chislehurst. You know, this is to provide 30 sessions for children in cancer ward with music, movement, creativity, and mindful craft. There's the creative arts with Studio Chislehurst, nutrition and monitoring, another 10-week course. Yeah, these are all big things you're doing. It really is, I'll use the word again, sterling work you're actually producing from a house in Mottingham. You know, you are really you're touching and helping everyone around the world, and it is really, really remarkable work you're doing. You should be so proud of yourself, what you're achieving. I mean, obviously your fund is going out. How is it all managed? Is it from donations, or is it primarily from sales, or a bit of both?
Well, we were lucky when we first started, because Steve was in the banking industry, so we knew a lot of people who had...
A few bob.
A few bob, yes.
And could be shamed into giving.
Yes, shamed. So we were lucky that a friend of ours had their own band, so they used to do band nights. We did a talent contest and all that sort of stuff. We didn't enter, by the way.
No.
And... yeah, that's where all our money was coming from. And of course, 3 years ago, pandemic, everything that we'd got booked through the summer had to be cancelled. So it was a kind of, you know, what do we do? So between lockdowns, we had the idea of throwing a few tables out on the driveway, a few CDs, some clothes and all that sort of stuff, and put up some adverts, use social media to the extent where I think everyone got sick of me. And on the first day we made £200. We thought, great,
that worked.
And then people were saying, would you like donations? We said, yes, please.
Yeah.
So gradually the donations started to roll in, and then a couple of weeks later we did it again and we made £300. And moving on 2 years, one weekend last year we actually made £1,200 in one day.
From the front garden.
The front garden.
That is amazing.
Selling people's leftovers, what they didn't want.
And your cats.
Yes, and from time to time, Steve and myself, we put our body on the line for the charity. 4 years ago, we did a skydive.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I wanted to do something to raise money for the charity, but also to celebrate a milestone in my life. Age milestone.
30, was it?
Oh, absolutely.
You're a brave man sitting over there, aren't you?
He's sitting away from me, that's why. But anyway, so I said in the trustees meeting, I would like to do a skydive to raise money for the charity. And out of a sudden, a voice piped up, I'll do it too. That was Steve. So it took us a couple of tryouts, because we were going all the way to Salisbury. But on the third time, we actually managed. We jumped. We got to see Stonehenge from up above.
Really? I should imagine that was good.
Absolutely beautiful, yes. And a couple of years ago, we went to Wales and we did the zip line over a quarry.
Oh, over the quarries, yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, fascinating experience, yes. Mm. It was amazing. So I'm thinking of the next one.
Sandra's waving as if to say, I'm right up for anything next. So yes.
She wants you to cut the wire, I think.
My health coats.
Oh, dear. Moving on. So anyway, talking of donations, how can people donate to you?
Well, as you say, the house in Mottingham Road is always open for donations. The gazebo will be open during the day.
And evening.
And evening.
People donate at midnight.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because we're different to a charity shop. People can donate.
Yeah, that's true.
24/7. Yeah. They just turn up.
On the way to work, empty their boots. Things like that. Yeah, we've had 6 a.m. you know, flashing up on the camera,
really
putting bags in. So yeah, and when the charity shops were closed, of course,
yeah,
bringing it
to the gazebo was open.
Oh yes.
How is that gym getting on now? It's filling up quite nicely, I should imagine. Anyway, or anyway, look, you've got some up and coming sales and quiz nights, apparently. I'm being told on the 5th of March, you've got the charity sale. That's a Sunday. That's actually at the the house, is it?
No, that's
oh, is that the Crofton
Albion?
Yeah.
Which is an amazing sports club. One of the trustees runs the club. And we have a big container there, and we have a lot of stock, and it's our sort of more high-end value stuff. So we sort of have a bit of a policy at the house. We pile it high, sell it cheap. So we'll try and keep things to a quid for most of the clothes and everything else.
Mm.
But we also had a vintage shop, and we're using a lot of high-end stock to sell for £3 at Crofton Albion. We did our first go a couple of weeks ago, and we thought we might make £100 or something. First time we made £500.
Wow.
We had people, but people who came, they bought 20-30 quid's worth because it's such great stock.
Yeah.
So we just need to get people to come down there because they'll walk away and they'll be our best advert for selling.
Mm. Yeah.
Because we've got some amazing stock.
They'll come back.
And they'll come back. And you know, we had a lady that came from Orpington by cab. She said, I'm coming, couldn't find a place, but got there and she walked away with more stuff than she could carry, you know, and I think that's a good advert, right?
And of course, on the 12th of March, that's it. That's the garden sale. That's the one at the house as well.
That's the one where we're up at 5:30 and getting the tables out and getting ready for the... Our first buyer will come when it's still dark. So we'll have a lady probably turn up at 6:30 before she goes. We have a lot of care workers who come before they go to work.
Really?
And, you know, we're about making money, but also, you know, we've got a community of buyers who come to us because we're that much cheaper than a charity shop. And we're local, and we do drop off sometimes when they can't take it on the bus and different things, and so yeah, it's quite nice.
Oh wow! And of course, on the 31st of March, which I'm trying to be roped into at the moment, you're at the Crofton Albion Sports and Social Club for a charity quiz night.
Yeah, so Roxy and I are hosting the quiz again.
Oh, right. And, any chance of the answers at all? No?
No.
Oh, dear.
No, afraid not.
But, you got to ask.
yeah. And last one we did was really good fun. I would ask if people want to join, just let us know beforehand, because the success of this radio might mean we have too many teams arrive. And
we can only hope.
Then which will be great, right? But it's a great venue. Come and find it on the 5th and then come for the quiz. The quiz is actually 10 rounds and 5 written by me, 5 written by Roxy. And we'll see. Sandra is very competitive and wants to win, and generally does win, unfortunately. So everyone thinks it's a fix. But
And this is £5 per person to take part. All the details can, of course, be found on your Facebook page and your website and everything else. Now, are you looking for new volunteers?
So, yes, we're always looking for new volunteers.
Yeah.
Yes.
At two levels, probably. One of the things which has been really successful for us, and which we sort of stumbled onto a little bit and have embraced and love it, is Duke of Edinburgh volunteers. Mm. So, you know, we had Lucas and Mum Jo were the first volunteers, and they had time, and they loved it. We said to Lucas first, what do you want to do, selling or doing other things? I'll just do logistics. And then suddenly we couldn't get him off selling. He loved it. And we've now got Nathaniel and Mum Lisa, who you're very close to, and also Elliot and Dad Nigel, and so they're sort of, and you know, they help us, and you know, they're doing their Duke of Edinburgh, but more importantly, it's a catalyst, hopefully, for them to go into, you know, helping others, and that's something special, hopefully, for us.
Yeah. Yes, on the back of this as well, I had actually a very good friend reach out to me, a young girl she knows needs to do some work days. She's still in school, and sadly, she cannot find the company to offer her the opportunity to do this for work days. And I suggested, what about a charity? Would she be interested in doing charity work? And as she knows her and she knows me, and she says, yes, absolutely. So Steve and I, we're going to meet her on the 4th of March and discuss. So it would be great, because not only she gets to help us, but she gets also the experience. And what we want to do also is to spend some time with her, show her how a charity is led. We need to do sometimes admin work.
Yeah.
We need to take care of raising funds, but also spending them. And it will be a very good experience for her. And like we were talking earlier, perhaps it will encourage her to do something for charity when it, like in a couple of years.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. At the end of the day, the charity, even though it's still a charity, it's still a business, and it's still got to be run. And as you say, there's things to be paid, incomings, outgoings, and everything else, and everything has to be above board, crossed and dotted, and everything. So,
and in that regard, you know, we've grown. You know, we were sort of 10,000-12,000 a year income. Last year, we had our most successful year ever. End of July, our financial year, we raised 30,000. And we're hoping to get bigger this year if we work hard. But no one gets paid in the charity. We're all volunteers, and we keep our expenses extremely low. The last gazebo was probably the last expense. But, you know, people sometimes, you know, worry about bigger charities because of all these high-paid CEOs and all this sort of stuff. But in our case, you know, we basically, you know, our house doesn't cost the charity anything except some blood and tears.
And, so, and cats.
You know, I think that's important, you know, philosophy for us. You know, we don't want to get too big and too successful, because then it will change ethos.
Yeah, 100%. How can people find out more about you? Is it the websites?
The Facebook is the most dynamic, probably.
Yes, the Facebook page.
It's Smile of Hope UK.
Yes.
And that seems to be right across your social media, the UK on the end as well. So
we're also on Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
And our website.
Anything else that will have us?
I want to say that Connor came on board as our digital head recently, a volunteer, and he's helped to revamp the website. He's done a sterling job, and he's young, which helps, because, you know, well, Roxy may be excluded, but the rest of us are sort of sliding into older age. And so, you know, and having these Duke of Edinburgh, we're going to have some TikTok stuff. So, you know, we're trying to get some younger blood in to help, you know, because at the end of the day, it's the youngsters that know how to communicate more than old fogies.
Great stuff. Look, time has beaten us, but Steve, Sandra and Roxy, thanks ever so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure. Been really, really interesting to find out about this. Don't forget, if you want to find out more about the Smile of Hope charity, then they are on Facebook. You can check them out at facebook.com/Smile of Hope UK. Steve, Sandra, Roxy, thank you once again for coming in.
On 96.5 FM, online and on your device, Maritime Radio.